Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing the new bill that's being fast-tracked in the city of Jacksonville that will open the door for Pandora's box in our city for special exceptions, special rights, special privileges for the LGBTQ agenda folks in our city. It's called the HRO, and we're talking with Raymond Johnson, which is the president and leader in Biblical Concepts Ministries. He's done a stalwart job in reaching out around our city with his email conversation and communication with city councilmen, the mayor, and with the general leadership in our city, trying to get the attention of our folks, and perhaps this broadcast will do so today. We can be involved in saying, as I said back in 2012, just say no, no, no to any HRO. And that should be the mantra of all of us, even today. Raymond, I believe before the top of the hour news, we're talking about those that had sponsored the bill was Aaron Bowman and Scott Wilson and Matt Carlucci. And now we have the lady that's also Republican, Leanne Cumber. Is that, am I thinking about the right one?
Right, right. So Leanne Cumber is Council District 5, which is San Marco area.
Yes.
And so her, Carlucci, and Bowman are this year's sponsors. So we had left off. I wanted to make sure that your listeners know, well, what do we do? So unfortunately, as I was saying, you know, we they probably have the votes, but we do have a few things we need to do. Let's reach out. First of all, always contact your city councilman and your at-large member, okay? It doesn't hurt to email all of them. You can go to coj.net. Make sure you go to coj.net. And any of this information is posted on our Facebook page, Biblical Concepts Ministries, or my personal page. So if you just, it's easier access. You'd have to friend me on Facebook. So go to Biblical Concepts Ministries, and that's a public page. And you will see all the links to get direct access to all these phone numbers. But let's focus, you know, on a few people to make sure that we've got the right votes. I would say call at-large member Terrence Freeman and call Terrence Freeman, Republican, and call Republican Randy DeFore in Council District 14. But there is
Terrence Freeman. Terrence Freeman's telephone number, by the way, is 255-5215. That's 255-5215. And then you have Sam Newby is also a council member at large, 255-5219. And either one of those would be good to call that are the at-large seats that I would recommend people to call. Go ahead with your statement. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to let everybody know that there is a swing vote that I think it's important to call, and it's no secret, so we just we can make this public, and that is that there a lot of conversation around the vote of Councilman Gaffney. Councilman Gaffney had a lot of the black churches in his area where the pastors were very upset, because he voted for this in 2017. And this is a professing Christian councilman. Well, anybody that votes for this, I think, is in serious spiritual trouble and needs some serious spiritual counsel and repentance. But my point is, he has been on record ever since the 2017 vote, saying that he was sorry for his vote, and if he had it over again, to do over again, that he would not vote for this. So I have reached out to Gaffney, and, you know, I haven't got him on the phone yet, but all I was able to do is, you know, leave a email.
His telephone number, by the way, his telephone number is 255-5207, 255-5207. That's Reginald Gaffney.
That's right. That's right. So thank you for that. So reach out to him. I think he's an important swing vote. And so if we had him join us, the handful of conservative Republicans, you would have up to possibly 7 votes. Now, that would be our best scenario, and here's why. If you had the 7 votes against it, that leaves them a vote shy of the 13 votes to make it veto-proof. And here we are yet again. This bill would have to go before Lenny Curry because he would have a choice to sign it, to veto it, or like he did last time and let it pass without his signature, which was still a, well, you know, we've discussed that. That was a way of just giving them the LGBT people the nod and trying to make nice with everybody is what he was doing. So that would be the best scenario. So let me quickly name these for you, okay? So we know, again, I'm just trying to get people to call Randy DeFore, Council District 14, At-Large Group 1, Terrence Freeman, and Councilman Gaffney. So make those calls and emails. Make your friends aware. And again, you can go online and find out how to watch this meeting and all these detailed information. So I think you wanted to discuss the bill a little bit in detail.
Yes. Well, one of the things, let's back up just a little bit and let our folks know that's listening today, and I'm prayerful that they have an interest in what we're saying and why we're saying it. But the courts ruled, the appeals court, District 1, and it was a 49-page ruling. And by the way, I've had the privilege of reading the 49-page ruling, and they're very specific in their ruling. And it's being played down by the media here in Jacksonville. It's being played down by Jason Gabriel, the chief attorney in the general counsel's office, being played down by, of course, the liberals on the city council. They're saying that they just need to rush in and do a fix. And the general perception is, by many of those that are listening to the city council and what they're doing, that even are aware of it, is that they've got a bill, the 2017 bill, that they found an error in, and they're trying to fix the error. And so, therefore, you don't really have to have that much input from the citizens. No, 10,000 times no. That bill, the 2017 ordinance that was passed, was ruled as being unconstitutional, unenforceable, and null and void. That's the very words that the appeals court used. It's null and void. And as we understand that, 49 pages it took the appeals court judges to say that. They went into great detail, definitive detail, to point out how what the city council had done was illegal in the passing of that law. And some will recall that they started out with about a 22-page bill. During the course of the dialogue and discussion, they reduced it to 12 to 15 pages. And then they finally passed that bill, and it was a five-page bill that was passed in 2017. And it simply listed on the pages subsections and sections of the ordinance that they planned to change, but they did not spell out in the bill what they were going to change. And the bill then was left up to the general counsel's office to supposedly, quote, go in and finish writing the ordinance. Well, for our listeners' benefit, Raymond, they need to understand that it's illegal. You can't pass a bill on the basis that we're going to pass it, like Nancy Pelosi with the Obamacare bill, 1,400-page bill with Nancy Pelosi. She said, well, we've got to pass it to see what's in it. And that's literally, philosophically, and ideologically what they did with the 2017 bill on the HRO for the city of Jacksonville. They passed it to then see what is in the bill, and that is illegal, unconstitutional, and unenforceable. But in that bill, Raymond, our listeners need to understand, the whole focus of the bill then and the whole focus of the new bill that they're pushing now deals with that which is called gender identity and sexual orientation, which has a very fluid understanding of what those terms mean. In fact, I'm looking at the new bill, proposed bill now, and what they're saying on it. They use the term gender identity and sexual orientation over and over and over. And on one of the pages of the bill, it says this: gender identity shall mean the gender-related identity, appearance, or expression of a person. Gender identity may be demonstrated by a person's consistent and uniform assertions of a particular gender identity, appearance, or expression, or by any other evidence that a person's gender identity is sincerely held, provided, however, that the gender identity, listen to this, shall not be asserted for any improper, illegal, or criminal purpose. Who makes that decision? What does it mean, gender identity? Then they go on to talk about sexual orientation. Shall mean an individual's actual or perceived orientation, or heterosexual, or homosexual, or bisexual. In other words, for our listeners, Raymond, ladies and gentlemen, what they're saying is you can take, and I've used this illustration back as far as 2012 in debating. In fact, during that defeat of the 2012 bill, Raymond, you spent hundreds and hundreds of hours. I invested about 235 clock hours in the preparation for the standing before the city council, meeting with them in the subcommittee and committee meetings and at the general subcommittee, general council meetings. And in doing so, we debated that over and over and over on the basis that here it is with sexual identity and general sexual orientation. A person could walk in, let's say there's a company that has a male employee. He's doing a wonderful job. But on a Monday morning, he walks in with high heel shoes, a miniskirt, and a wig put on and says, all of a sudden, I'm a female. That company owner could not fire him because of what's called gender identity or sexual orientation. That company could not fire him. There's a case that's been working in the courts now for several years where a privately owned funeral home company, had one to do that very thing. And they released him because they told him that he had to dress appropriately for his position, and he refused to do so. And now he was sued by that sodomite, that cross-dresser, that transsexual, whatever identity you want to give him, because when it comes to sexual identity and gender orientation, there's some 100-plus supposed categories that falls under. So the employer cannot fire a person if they were to take that drastic measure in what's being done. They would have, according to the new law, new bill that's proposed, I'm looking at it in my hand as I speak, it would give the opportunity for the city council to process the claim, and in processing the claim, they could absolutely fine up to $500 and place in jail for up to 90 days. This article, this bill says, shall upon conviction thereof be punished by fine not to exceed $500 or to be imprisoned for not exceeding 90 days by both fine or imprisonment. But yet the article, the bill also states that, and it's a conflict in the bill because the very, what I call the prerequisite to the balance of the bill, the ordinance introduction says on page one that the ordinance code to eliminate imprisonment as a penalty. But yet the bill itself says that you could be imprisoned up to 90 days and fined up to $500. So there's a lot of double talk in it, Raymond, but I want our listeners to understand the danger of that. Speak to that issue for a moment for our listeners about what's happened in the past few years in Jacksonville with the sodomite parades and with the drag queen story hours and what that's done in our city in perverting the morals and ethics and the values.
That's exactly what I wanted to mention. Let me back up just a little bit and work my way to all that. I did want to say you talked about the basis of why the law was rejected from the court, and with it being a classic Nancy Pelosi, let's pass it to see what's in it. This was literally, if I can refine that a little bit in a little more detail, what really happened was, let's pass it so we can then go back and let our general counsel write it.
Yes.
I mean, that's literally what happened. That occurred to me yesterday. Somebody actually mentioned that. So that's what happened.
And by the way, let me jump in and say this, Raymond. Not only the fact that they passed it on the basis that the general counsel then will go in and, quote, fill in the blanks, i.e. write the rules and the regulations. Mm-hmm. In the 49-page adjudication by the District 1 Appeals Court, they recited that and stated that even at the time that this was being processed in the courts to ascertain its legality, that the general counsel's office at that time still had not written the rules and the regulations to complete that bill. So literally they passed a sham, and they were leaving it open so that as cases would come up, then based on whatever case comes up, they could write the rules and the regulations to apply as would be fitting for that particular case to cram down some kind of legal charges against some business in our city. And Raymond, speak to the issue about one of the major, major things that this does. It opens every bathroom, every women's bathroom, locker room, shower room, dressing room.
Right.
It opens it up for any pervert, any sexually confused person to be able to go in.
Well, that's exactly right. So let's walk everybody on a timeline here. You asked about to get into what has happened. So let's compare what's happened on both ends of this and let the listeners think on this a little bit, and let's see if there's a spiritual outcome of this. So, you know, I remember that the night this was passed, I read Proverbs chapter 1, okay, and I don't have time to go into it, but those that know their Bible know what Proverbs chapter 1 says. It does talk about that, you know, God will not be mocked and that your fear will come upon you suddenly because you've ignored my will and my law, okay? So I read that to them. Now, what we've seen happen is since this HRO law, okay, once they know they have their foot in the door, I mean, it's just on. You know, it's a full-on, you know, parade here. So literally we've had the drag queen story hour battle that we fought last summer, and which we did sort of win a battle there and was able to get the city leadership to, behind the scenes, just tell the public library system enough, cut it. So, but they found ways around that. I literally attended a drag queen story hour at University of North Florida and watched a pretty nasty dude stand there and brainwash these children with these little characters, and he was discussing how everybody is. I mean, we're talking about little, all the way from like 1 to, you know, 12, okay, little kids. Mostly, I would say, you know, kids that are 6 and under that were there. There was 2 or 3 dozen of them there with and then their parents. So he was teaching them that they too could grow up and be whatever they wanted to be and love anybody they wanted to love, and how everybody was mean. He taught them that they should be violent toward anybody. He had these little toys, you know, put together, and so the transgender or the homosexual figure that he was using killed the mean guy that was mean to him. Okay, and he literally took the toy and threw it across the room and said, "Oh, you're dead." You know, I mean, these are little story hour things, right, that to little children, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. So this is what he was teaching. We have had numerous gay pride parades in which, let me make another complaint, the I'm trying to remember which year it was, 8, we'll see, we're in 20. So anyway, within the last 2 years, at one of the gay pride parades, for the first time, our own JSO, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, they were not there to protect a permitted event, which the city had to permit, by the way. But this time, a memo went out to JSO, and he allowed anybody, the sheriff, I appreciate our sheriff, but I've called him out on this before. This was printed in our voter guide. This is dead wrong, and it needs to stop.
That was in 2019.
That's right, it was. He allowed his own officers to participate in the pride parade, and the JSO, there's a public, you know, whatever, what's the word I'm looking for? They have a vehicle that drives around, you know, is used for shows and whatnot. Their public vehicle.
Cruiser.
Was in the parade with lights
on. One of the cruisers,
on,
yes.
With,
one of
yeah,
the JSO fully marked cruisers.
That's right. In the gay pride parade, okay? So, I mean, it's nonstop. There's been a private business down in the Riverside area that's hosted these, transgender story hour things for these kids and stuff because the libraries didn't. So this is going on and on. Now, I want to make a spiritual point really quick, and then I'll let you finish up here. But all these things that's been happening for several years now in Jacksonville since we've passed this, okay? Let me go back. In 2016, as you stated, this first come up in 2012. It was defeated by the city council. So, and then in 2014, they passed a HRO bill in the city of Atlantic Beach, which is still Duval County, but just the small little city of Atlantic Beach. So in 2015, we elected a pro-LGBT city council. So they brought this up in 2016. Now, there's several reasonings behind why they didn't move forward. They sort of just dropped the HRO in early 2016. And some of that was the pressure. They saw that there was very serious obligation. We went out and got 10,000 petition signatures signed in a month.
Yes.
And
yes.
Revealed that. But there was what really happened was that the mayor, and there were several things. So, I mean, you know, I'm not saying this is the only thing, but one of the things that I know of was the mayor that year wanted a ballot initiative passed in 2016. And I want to say it may have been the gambling one or something about taxes, or I can't remember which one it was, but that was on his agenda. So he wanted to wait one more year until after the election. And they did pass what the mayor wanted on a public vote, okay, on the November ballot 2016. And so then they immediately, the first business day of 2017, that bill was filed. And it was passed on February 14th. But the point I wanted to make about 2016, you know what else happened? That was early 2016, and they dropped it. They had plans. It was already decided we are passing the HRO. But you know what else happened? We had a major hurricane in 2016 that came through Jacksonville. And you know what else happened in 2017? When they passed the HRO in early 2017, that hurricane season, the worst flooding we've had in our lifetime happened in our city over a hurricane that came to town. Okay, crime since 2017 has skyrocketed. I mean, you know, that was a big thing. In the 2019 election about crime and all this stuff, the mayor was having to deal with out-of-control crime. They try to say there was nothing that happened, but you know what? If you pay attention, you can go Google it. There has been more reported bathroom and sexual bathroom crimes in Duval County. There's several articles there that it seems to be more of a trend.
Yes, you've had that, in fact, across the nation with the Target stores, because they opened all of their dressing rooms, locker rooms, and bathrooms to any pervert that comes in. Target stores across America has had some 48 suits against them because of young ladies, girls, and women in the dressing rooms where perverts would go in. Males, because of gender identity and the fluidity there, feeling that they were female that day, had the right to walk into the bathrooms. Across America. But the sad thing is this will give special exception, special privilege, special attention. Raymond, let me butt in for just a moment, because I'm looking at page 3 of the new ordinance, and it says the right of equal opportunity access of employment, sexual orientation, gender identity, et cetera, and disability are civil rights guaranteed by the U.S. United States Constitution. Here's my question. Here's my premise. If our state constitution and the federal constitution guarantees these rights, why do we need a special bill, a special law, to give special immoral privilege for a special class of people in our city? If we're going to do that, why don't we go ahead and set up a special exception law, a special exception ordinance that gives those that are thieves or rapists or liars or adulterers, why don't we set up some special carve-out that will give special privilege for liars, or special privilege for thieves, or special privilege for adulterers, or special privilege for rapists, if we're going to take an immoral group of society and carve out and give special privilege, special exceptions for them? Why don't we go ahead and carve out others? Why don't we have a special exception group for Christians? If you're saved, you have special exceptions, special rights, special privileges that no one else has. Our U.S. Constitution doesn't allow that. Our state constitutions across America does not allow that. One of the major, major, major things that we see, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's a movement to destroy Christianity. Here's an article, right, Raymond, that I believe would be edifying for our listeners. The article says, face the facts. The LGBTQ movement wants to destroy Christianity. And it goes on to talk about it in this sense. Christians believe the LGBTQ movements lie, and they seek only Christian love and acceptance. The truth is, the LGBTQ movement seeks to bury Christianity, bullying us into sincere and silence extinction. Christians have told me to stop posting my articles about LGBTQ expression on Facebook, this writer says. Some Christians want to remain neutral on political and cultural issues for business and various other reasons. What concerns me is Christians still do not understand what we are up against, and Christians who have embraced leftist agendas and ideas, believing it's what Jesus would do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Jesus would do at all. We need to understand, as Raymond was speaking of just a moment ago, I believe we are watching the progressive hand of God's judgment in America and in each city and state, just as he was speaking of about the city of Jacksonville. I believe we see God's judgment coming upon a city as a result of passing immoral, ungodly, unholy legislation to embrace a certain segment of society. Go ahead, Raymond.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'll mention a couple other things. I know our time's winding down, but to add to that, we talked about the crime, the storms. And by the way, I'm not saying that the absolute fact that God sent storms. I'm just saying, let's take in account what the Bible teaches about judgment and these things and warnings, and we've seen things that God seems to be sending warnings to. And he gives us time in the Revelation. We've talked about that in the past, about space to repent. And look at locally speaking, too, one thing we left out was the whole JEA scandal, another big thing, a criminal activity, it looks like. But that's been exposed a little bit and may be exposed, and there could be charges potentially. So things are happening, and we need to our city leaders need to understand we need to repent. And the current situation with this crisis, as we've discussed in the last few weeks, man, if you can't see the hand of God, if you can't see the scripture being fulfilled, so this is time for us, for Christians, to really speak up and educate the lost and say, hey, Jesus is coming.
Raymond, we've got about 30 seconds left on this broadcast. What our listeners need to understand, we need to wake up, sit up, stand up, and say no, no, no to any HRO. Call your city council. Call your city council. Say, vote no on this bill. At least allow the citizens to come in and have input to what you're saying and doing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.